Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. During the last couple of days, if you've been watching or listening to the news or keeping track to news feeds on Facebook and other sources, it's impossible to miss what's been going on in Charlottesville, Virginia, as the so-called Unite the Right rallies have been going on there, which is basically a fancy name for a bunch of racists who have showed up. And to promote white nationalism. And in doing that, has attempted to strike fear into the hearts of other people. To show might through terrorism. And in this time, three people have died. Some 34 people, maybe more, have been injured. And our bishop yesterday, as a response, sent out a message to the bishops, clergy, and laity of this diocese. Now, anyone who has been in the service understands that a directive is a polite way of giving marching orders. It may look like a request, but our bishop sent out marching orders. He sent this out as a directive. Dear brothers and sisters, I am directing that all liturgies this weekend specifically remember the people of Charlottesville, especially those targeted by the protest, and especially the bishops, clergy, and people of the Diocese of Virginia as they provide protection and prayerful witness against the hatred, bigotry, and violence of the far right, white supremacist groups gathering and marching in Charlottesville. The marchers in Virginia do not represent who we are as God's people or citizens of this nation. In the face of such evil and ignorance, the church must stand in prayer and witness to all-inclusive love of Jesus Christ. I ask each and every member of the diocese to attend to the ministry of prayer in small and great ways, combat this evil by our witness and actions. The Right Reverend Lawrence C. Provenzano, the Bishop of Long Island. And here in a bit, we will offer our prayers. Fear is a natural response. And in many ways, it can save our lives. There are healthy fears. Such as if you walk, into a yard and you see a growling dog. The fear that gets you back out of the yard. And there is irrational fears. Now, what we are seeing in places like Charlottesville are irrational fears at work. Fears that somebody else is going to get the better share. Fear that people, because of their immigration status, because of the color of their skin, because of their gender identity, are somehow a threat. And so as a response, we get a bunch of middle class white guys in polos and khakis carrying tiki torches, which looks like a makes a really ridiculous picture. But if you're the one who has a bunch of people carrying torches towards you, it's not at all funny. You have this irrational fear that's turned into hatred, in which 19 people were injured and a 32-year-old woman killed by motor vehicle assault by a young white man who decided to drive into a crowd of counter-protesters. We have two state police officers dead because they were coming to do their duty to help control and disperse a rabid crowd, all due to an irrational fear that somebody is coming to take over and steal our rights from us. But there were other people who also had reasons to fear. In a church in Charlottesville, was filled with religious leaders and laity, mostly Christians, some from other faiths, who were basically held captive overnight because of the crowds. And some of these are people I know, and they were sending out various Twitter and Facebook messages. And though they were afraid, they did not leave their fear overwhelm them. Instead, they prayed together. They worshiped together. And best of all, they sang together. And one of the hymns they sang, one that that's usually don't hear in a lot of churches anymore because it's not an easy hymn to sing. Lift every voice and sing till earth and heaven ring, ring with harmonies of liberty. Let our rejoicing raise high on the listening skies. Let the resound loud as the rolling sea sing a song full of faith that the dark past has taught us. Sing a song full of hope that the present has brought us. Facing the rising sun of our new day begun, let us march till victory is won. So here were people who were actually did have something to fear, who sang out in joy. Now, I think about today's gospel, and we have a boat full of people who have a very real fear. We are told that Jesus has sent off his disciples in a boat while he goes off and prays by himself. And as they go out to sea, they are met with wind and waves. And now this is not something that just happens over a brief time. These men, as we read scripture, this happens at the beginning of evening and goes on until the early morning. They are trapped in a boat on an angry sea. And I am certain, as much as possible, that you have Peter and his brother Andrew and the brothers James and John, who are the ones who are the experienced fishermen, the experienced boatmen, who are doing their best to keep everybody in the boat and alive, probably using every trick they know, fighting waves and wind all night. These are people who have something to be truly afraid of. And then we're told in the early morning light, they look out and they see someone walking towards them. Now, I can only imagine what it must have been like for these people in the boat. I'm sure each of them, as they saw somebody walking, thought it must have been only them, that the tired, being fatigued and full of fear all night and working hard, that it must be an illusion. But as they realize other people are seeing it, they think at first it's a ghost. But then they realize it's Jesus. And hope returns. Not completely, but it begins to come to them as they see him walking. And you hear Peter telling Christ, if it's really you, command me to get out of the boat. And of course he does, and Peter gets out of the boat and starts walking. But the wind and the waves start to frighten him again, and he begins to sink. Now, I'm sure I've heard other people many times point out and say, oh, gee, Peter, he didn't have enough faith. And look at it, he's sinking. And point fingers at him. But the reality is Peter got out of the boat. Would you have gotten out of the boat? I'd like to think I would have, but reality, I would probably be holding on to the mast, the side, or whatever, you know. You know, James, John, whoever's closest to me. But Peter got out of the boat, and he actually started to walk through Christ before his fears caught up to him again. And he calls out to Jesus as I'm sure many of us have in times of great fear. And you know what? Jesus answered him. Jesus was there. Jesus reached out and lifted him up, and together they walked back and got into the boat. Though his faith got him out of the boat, his fears caused him to sink. But when he held Jesus' hand, his faith returned, knowing that Christ would not let him sink. And that's the type of faith we're called to have. It doesn't mean that our fears are totally taken away from us. It doesn't mean that scary things will stop happening. But what it does mean is that we will have the courage to face the fears, to march forward and to do the work that we're called to do. In this time in which we are dealing with rapid fear and hatred, the willingness as Christians to stand up to it. Not meeting violence with violence, but as we saw so often, through love and persistence. One of my favorite pictures is you see this armed militia. These guys who apparently like to dress up like soldiers. Standing there armed. And you had both clergy, laity, you had Christians, Muslims, standing there holding hands, facing down a group with weapons. And you know which group faltered and failed and left? Let me tell you, it wasn't the ones standing and holding hands. My brothers and sisters, if we are hoping to move forward, we all need to take that chance to put our leg over the side and actually get out of the boat, realizing that if our fears begin to take over, Jesus will be there to hold our hands, to lead us to safety. To prove to all around us that the love of God is stronger than any fear or hatred that man can create. Now, as I said earlier, our bishop has called on us to offer prayers. And we do offer prayers today. We pray for the people of Virginia, especially those in Charlottesville, and for the people of faith, whether they be Christian or of other beliefs, for the bishops, the clergy and laity of the Diocese of Virginia. We pray for all faithful people who stand up to hatred. We pray for those who were injured by the violence and ask that they are healed of body, mind, and spirit and made whole through God's healing touch. We pray for the 32-year-old woman who died yesterday as a result of the fatal motor vehicle assault. And we ask your prayers. We offer our prayers for her loved ones, her family, all who grieve for her. We pray for the families and loved ones of the Virginia State Police officers, Lieutenant H.J. Collins and Trooper Pilot Burke M.M. Bates, who died yesterday in the line of duty. And we offer our prayers also to their brothers and sisters of law enforcement who grieve them. We pray for all victims of hate and for an ending to racism, Islamophobia, sexism, homo and transphobia, and all other irrational fears and hatreds. We pray for the church and its members that we will stand faithfully and bravely in the face of those who would tear us down. We pray for those who live into and support those who are persecuted. We also pray for those who persecute. We pray for those who leave their fears and hatred overwhelm them and ask that they repent and come back to you, God. We pray that one day we will all live as one people. And that we Christians will live into our baptismal covenant by proclaiming by word and example the good news of God in Christ, seeking and serving Christ in all persons, loving our neighbor as ourselves, and to strive for justice and peace among all people, and that we may respect the dignity of every human people. And Lord, we ask you for the strength and courage to get out of the boat and to trust in you.